Hello and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Thursday, December 3rd, 2020. There has been a lot of activity and some records broken in the last couple of days by COVID-19. And Dr. Nyman has that and a lot more to go over. Dr. Nyman?
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I thought I'd go over some of the numbers. This was expected and predicted, and this is kind of the fall wave just getting rolling now, as reflected by the number of cases reported on a daily basis, as well as the number of deaths. The number of deaths was expected because of the increase in the number of hospitalizations. Today, I think, was a record high with 100,000 being hospitalized. And so they're straining drug delivery systems at hospitals and personnel that treat COVID cases. And so just to give you a feel, yesterday the number of cases, and again, this is for the 15 U.S. states and the District of Columbia, based on what these various states report at their website, and it got up to 195,970, which is a few thousand shy of the all-time high, which I think was 199. It'll go over 200,000 either today or tomorrow. These reports typically come out. They go lower over the weekend. Monday still is reflecting the weekend cases on Sunday. So Monday is usually lowest of the weekdays. And then it gradually goes up and usually peaks on a Friday and then starts back down for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to reflect the either reporting on the weekend or reporting of cases that were registered on the weekend. And so that's why it's pretty safe to predict that it's going to go up. The holiday kind of, put perturbations in last week's data, so I never really got a full number for Thursday or Friday. Those are both kind of holiday, a four-day weekend, essentially. And that's why these yesterday's numbers pretty much confirmed that the numbers were at record levels and had passed through the period right after the holiday that would make up for some of the ones that weren't reported. I mean, the day before yesterday, there were 185,186 cases and 25,009. And so even yesterday, there was an indication these numbers were, the deaths were going to go significantly higher. A lot of the projections seem to be using the 2,000 deaths a day with kind of averaging 2,500 between now and the end of February. And I commented earlier that that seemed to be a gross underestimate, because it had already gotten up to 2,000 a couple of weeks ago as far as the daily deaths. And it seemed likely that it would be up to 2,500 by this week and probably approaching 3,000. And now it looks like it very well may hit 3,000. The reason it wasn't difficult to conclude that the projections were underestimates was because the deaths are really based on how many patients get hospitalized, and the hospitalized cases have been going up for several weeks now, and the deaths are going to lag that by 2, 3, 4 weeks, and so there's really no reason to expect the death to slow down. They're still going to be reflecting cases that were diagnosed 3, 4 weeks ago. And unfortunately, these numbers don't reflect increases that is due to the holiday weekend. people that were infected over the holidays generally would just start developing symptoms now, and then they would have to go get tested, and then they'd have to get test results, and the test results would have to be reported to the states, and the states would have to put it into their database, and then they would have to be uploaded. And that's when the general public would see those numbers. And so those numbers from and are probably not going to be showing up until well into next week, if not the week after. And so that time frame should show another bump up in these cases, and that would be just in time for Christmas and New Year's, which would cause significant increases in January and probably even February. And that's why these projections as to what the numbers are going to be at the end of February or even end of January all seem to be, you know, very low. The vaccines were approved. The Pfizer vaccine was approved in the UK yesterday, and they'll start immunizing people in a week or two. Similarly, the Pfizer vaccine is scheduled for a meeting a week from today, and it'll likely be approved, and that will result in shipments next weekend, although I think some of the shipments have been delivered to kind of staging areas, if you will. So the vaccine has already started moving around in anticipation of release by beginning next weekend. And then Moderna filed an emergency use authorization, which is what was expected to be approved for Pfizer and what was approved for Pfizer in the UK. And so the Moderna's trailing by about a week or so. That FDA meeting is scheduled for 2 weeks from today and on the 17th. And so that is probably going to be similar numbers. Both of these vaccines are based on messenger RNA being put into lipid particles, and those are used for the vaccine as part of the reason, especially the Pfizer needs the cold temperature. Both of them require two shots. So that's the reason the effects even of the vaccines aren't really going to be seen until by February to have any impact. In the U.S., it looks like the initial shots will go to healthcare workers and other first responders, as well as long-term care facilities. And Pfizer is supposed to have something like 40,000 doses. It's possible, since it, you know, it basically takes two shots, it's possible they'll only start with 20,000, but I've heard reports that they will probably give the first shot to 40,000 because they've got another 40,000 shots being manufactured and will be ready to go shortly, and therefore those would be used for the second shot. So they could really start 40,000 people. And similar numbers are anticipated for Moderna, and they'll probably be trailing Pfizer by a week or so. So they could theoretically start 40 million, I should say, cases, or conservatively, they could immunize 20 million with the first shot and keep the other 20 million for a second shot. And there are meetings ongoing. I think even today there's a meeting at Tennessee, which is the home of FedEx, which is involved with the distribution. And there are logistics discussions on what will be shipped where and how it will be shipped. FedEx is outfitting planes, so they'll be able to carry more packages with dry ice, which is one of the, which is essentially how the vaccines are shipped to maintain the cold chain, is the dry ice is colder than the ultra-low freezers, which are minus 70 degrees centigrade, which would be about 94 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit. There were some concerns that people think that they were getting a shot that cold, and that's not the case. That's basically how it's shipped and stored. The shots will be warmed up before they actually go into people's arms, so they won't be such a cold. That's just for storage and shipping. And then the CDC held a teleconference this week talking about quarantine periods, and they indicated that those that had exposures but didn't have symptoms could quarantine for 10 days instead of 14 days. And those that were tested negative within a couple of days of potential release from quarantine could cut the quarantine time down to 7 days. This is to get more compliance with people doing the quarantine, since the length of time is shorter. And they would want more people to participate in the quarantines, because many of these health delivery hospitals are at or near capacity, and because the virus is now widespread at these high levels, there's shortages of personnel, that the healthcare workers are stretched. It's not that there's a lot of healthcare workers in rural areas that can go to the major cities, because the rural areas are hit now fairly hard also. And so it's a concern. And to give an idea how widespread it is, the day before yesterday, there were actually 9 states that reported over 100 deaths. Pennsylvania had 180, California had 116, Michigan had 193, Illinois had 149, Texas had 170, Ohio had 119, Indiana had 142, Missouri had 134, and Wisconsin had 107. Now, some of this might have been left over from the holiday weekend, that they were playing a little bit of catch-up. But even today, even yesterday's results still had a significant number above 100, and that included Pennsylvania with 194, California with 116, Illinois with 263, Texas with 207, and Ohio with 123, and Kansas had 119, but they report every other day, so that's probably a 2-day total, because they didn't report on Tuesday. So that gives you an idea that that's a lot of states that have a significant number of deaths, and then there's another whole slew of states that have 50 to 100 deaths. And so, like I say, these are high numbers. This is getting close to the all-time high. It's like I say, 27.85 yesterday, and it'll likely get to 3,000 this week and 4,000 next week or the week after for sure would be very likely. And then depending upon how badly the increases from Thanksgiving, then those deaths would start appearing in January and potentially February. And that would be followed by Christmas and New Year's. So the next 3 months, as indicated by many or most now, is going to be very difficult. The positive note is Scott Atlas is gone. He, I guess, was signed up for 170-day term, and he submitted his resignation as of December 1st. He was promoting herd immunity and trying to claim that they could essentially protect the vulnerable, like people in long-term care facilities, and kind of let the virus spread among the general population. And what is shown by these high death tolls that I just cited is evidence that his plan was, you know, just not workable. It wasn't based in any reality. The majority of these deaths are in an older population. Many are in long-term care facilities, or reports in some long-term care facilities where 100% of the patients are infected and a significant percentage are either hospitalized or have already died. And this is people that were infected, you know, a month ago, a month and a half ago, when God Atlas was pretty much took over the coronavirus task force as far as opinions, and apparently was providing direction. And the scientists who actually have a background, Scott Atlas is an MD, but he's a radiologist. He doesn't have any background in virology or epidemiology or any of the disciplines that would be associated with managing a pandemic. He is just somebody who was on Fox News and then got onto the task force and kind of displaced all of the scientists who actually had backgrounds in these areas, and was promoting a nonsense approach that would result in millions of deaths. Now, the millions of deaths is still possible because of the number of the explosion of the cases. I mean, the U.S. never got its numbers down, and they got it down to 40,000 right before this fall wave. Everybody that paid any attention or had any background, you know, was predicting a fall wave. That's essentially how the recent pandemics went, whether you look at the 1918 pandemic or whether you look at the more recent swine flu pandemic. They both had a much milder spring, and then the number of cases exploded in the fall. And so some, like the president, were comparing this to SARS, which was an epidemic, wasn't a pandemic. Or SARS, there were only 7,700 cases and 700 deaths in the entire epidemic. It was localized. The epicenter was in Guangdong province, and it spread to Hong Kong and via this Metropole Hotel, which was frequented by tourists. The virus spread internationally via air travel to Toronto and Hanoi and Singapore and also Hong Kong. And that's all the international cases essentially had the same 29 nucleotide deletion in it, which was what was brought from Guangdong province to the Metropole Hotel by one physician who had been treating patients, and he came to Hong Kong for a wedding. And he was only at the Metropole Hotel for 2 days, and he vomited in the hallway outside of his room. And then when they vacuumed that up after it had dried, they basically aerosolized the virus. And most of the people on the ninth floor of the Metropole Hotel were infected, and then they flew out of the area and spread the virus. So it really didn't get beyond, I mean, the major spread were in those four cities. There were minor outbreaks elsewhere, but the virus didn't really take off and didn't become a pandemic. And it was controllable, although it came back again at the end of the year, at the end of 2003. There was a minor one, and it pulled all of the wet markets that were involved mostly in the Hong Kong area, and were able to control that, and the virus basically wasn't heard of until this relative, SARS-CoV-2. But the research on SARS really paved the way for the vaccines. The vaccines were applied to existing platforms that were used for other viruses, in fact, in some cases. But the SARS coronavirus, as well as the MERS coronaviruses, were used as prototypes to develop vaccines. They weren't developed and were approved, but there was significant data that was generated on that vaccine development. So as soon as China released a sequence of SARS-CoV back in early January 8th, I think, then the whole scientific community could get going on vaccine based on their particular platform, and all of them ended up choosing the spike protein as the target. And the U.S. government program Warp Speed that offered to buy the product even if it wasn't approved allowed the various pharmaceutical companies to start development of the vaccine while their target was in clinical trials. The U.S. did this with six different vaccines, two messenger RNAs, two that were approved, and then two adenovirus-based that also incorporated the spike protein, and then two recombinant ones. The recombinant ones are pretty much in recruiting patients for phase three trials. The two adenoviruses are completing phase three trials or have completed and are analyzing the data. And then the two messenger RNA ones are the two that, which are incorporated into liposomes. Those are the two that are most advanced. Pfizer's already been approved in the United Kingdom and is likely will be approved a week from today, and Moderna likely will be approved 2 weeks from today. So that's kind of the update. I'll try to get a few more of these done in the next few days. Like I said, I think that there'll be record numbers of cases set today and tomorrow, and it'll slow down for the weekend, and then start to see the effects of Thanksgiving next week with the case count starting to go up. But the next 3 months or so are going to be very difficult, and unfortunately are not going to be significantly impacted by the vaccines because the two leading candidates both require two injections, and the second injection is 3 to 4 weeks after the first. That's it for now.
All right, thanks for the information, as always. Listeners, please always go to retirementamex.co for all the latest information. we will continue to do these as the situation evolves and seemingly now gets more severe. And thanks for listening. Have a nice day.